thank you. So what's interesting about this conference is synergy in science and being able to partner between different kinds of sciences. I'm actually in the entomology department, but I was able to partner up with our soil science and crop science department at Texas A&M. And so what I'm looking at is the ecology of the sugarcane aphid and management practices, looking at different various sorghum hybrids. So what I'm going to do is sort of give you all an outline of what we do as an entomologist in the lab to look for different management practices. So before I go into that, the sugarcane aphid originated in 2013 into the States, and it moved from sugarcane onto sorghum. And the aphid is in the top right-hand corner. And this is a map of the aphid's occurrence in 2015. And in 2013, it was only present in 3 states, and now it's moved into 17, now in 2015. At the threshold, about 50 sugarcane aphids, that's when we start to control with management practices. So the management practices right now are specifically with chemicals, so sulfoxaflor, or Transform, or Flupirdifferon, or Savanto. And they actually just pulled sulfoxaflor off the market, EPA did so. Now we're losing even more control mechanisms for the sugarcane aphid. As you can see here, all of these little dots are the sugarcane aphid, and this isn't a large photo of what it looks like. They are such a bad problem because they have such a short life cycle. They actually lay a live birth, and those babies that they have inside them actually can have more babies already being produced. So they have multiplying generations. The problem with the sugarcane aphids is they feed on the phloem of the plant, and they take all of this water in, and they have to excrete it as a sugary substance called honeydew, and a lot of the yield loss is due to not being able to actually use a combine because it gets so jammed up. And so even though you might have yield, you're not able to harvest before the sugarcane aphids, before the sorghum tips over. So my objective is to look at other ways of management practices by looking at agronomic characteristics and by looking at the resistant hybrids. So in the life history analysis, that's going to be done in the lab, so it takes out the environmental effects and it just focuses on that interaction between the organism, the aphid, and the sorghum. And then I used a field study to compare hybrids in the field and take in different things like chlorophyll readings, and I'll get into that. So in the lab, I was given 5 sorghum hybrids that were known to be susceptible or resistant. This is from just previous studies in the past and from observation of looking at the different hybrids. And I placed 1 aphid on a plant and allowed it to have babies. That's the first instar nymph. I removed everything but 1, and so this allows me to look at the nymphal development, so it goes through 4 life stages until it's an adult, so I can see how fast they grow, and this allows me to see the effects that the nutrition of the plant is actually having on the sugarcane aphid. I measured the adult longevity, so I looked at how many days it survived on each different hybrid, and then as it laid babies, I counted each number so I could get a reproductive rate, and then the intrinsic rate of increases in natural, like an estimate of the natural population. And then I was able to look at from birth until death to get the survivorship. So from that, we actually didn't have any significant differences except for 1, and I'll get into that in a minute. So what I did was I came up with an average. So this sort of gives us an idea of how fast we're reproducing without the effects of rain, without the effects of any other environmental effects, and you can see here that the nymphal development time, that's from the first instar all the way to pre-reproductive adult, is 5.8 days, which is really fast for an insect. And the adult longevity is about 17 days, and they're reproducing at a rate of 31 babies for their whole entire life stage. And if you're thinking about that, 1 sorghum leaf can have over 1,500 aphids, and they're multiplying at a rate of 31 babies per day. So this population skyrockets. The intrinsic rate of increase, that's an estimate of what the natural population would look like. So for each aphid, they're reproducing 3.2 babies per day. The nymphal mortality is about 0.1, and that's per life stage. They have 4 life stages. And the adult mortality rate is higher because they are getting to the end of their life cycle, and that's 0.46 days. So what I was able to see is a significant difference between the overall survivorship on the plant. And you can see here that the green is BOT 211 and the blue is umbrella hybrid. And BOT 211 is actually a high biomass sorghum that previous studies have done in our Texas A&M fields before the sugarcane aphid was present. So it's interesting that we can see that we are seeing some differences in being able to have a lower survivorship of these aphids. So with this, maybe BOT 211 could be used in future field projects and to reduce the problem of the sugarcane aphids, and maybe that can be one of the ways that we can manage this crop a little bit better than just pesticides. So I was able to go out to the field this summer. This is our field plot. This is an aphid-free control, and this is our experimental plot. So we were able to be able to control these with a border row to prevent any crossover from the pesticide control over here. And we had four replications, so this is just a quarter of our field. And we did the checks so that we could compare the yields once we have the aphid pressure as well. So what I did was I flagged five plants per plot, and I took the field study parameters such as like the aphid population. So I would do a quick check and I would look at one leaf and have an estimate of how many aphids per plant by looking at two leaves, the upper and the lower, and I was able to average that across the plot. So each hybrid, I was able to get an average aphid population. I then also looked at the crop development stage as it went across all of the growing season. We looked at canopy reflectance and SPAD reading and canopy temperature. So what we were looking at is if there is an interaction between sugarcane aphids producing that sticky substance that causes sooty mold, maybe it would increase the temperature of the plant, decrease the chlorophyll level, and see that interaction and see if that has an effect on the yield in the end. So we had a lot of rain this past growing season, a ton of rain. And I think that really did have an effect on our different sorghum hybrids. And these are hybrids for a small company that just needed some help with testing their hybrids specifically for sugarcane aphid resistance. So here, we never reached above threshold of insects. So we control for insects at 50. And for an average plot, we didn't even get above 40. And so what I did was I did a log transformation so y'all can see the differences better. We did find significant differences between hybrid 9, which never reached threshold, and this is that 40 aphids right here, and this is about 10 so that you can get an idea. The blue and the red are significantly different. So we did find one plant that was highly susceptible, highly quotation marks, because it still never reached threshold. So for the season that we had and the amount of rain, all of them tended to be showing more tolerance or resistance to the sugarcane aphid. So then looking at the canopy temperature, the SPAD meter, and I took the NDVI red edge, so the NDVI is a normalized difference vegetation index. So with that, it sort of can show you how much chlorophyll is present, and it can show whether or not the plant is susceptible or is having pest damage because of that reading from, taken from the reflectance. And you can see here, these are the reflectance values, and these are right where they need to be, between 40 and 50 at this level. It's absorbing that red color and it's reflecting the green back. So they're all really healthy plants given that there was a lot of rain and very little aphid pest. So there is some difference, which I'm analyzing that right now, and I think it might have been due to the heavy amounts of rain in different locations of the field that were sitting there, not necessarily because of aphid population. So that's ongoing right now. So in summary, with a field study, we were able to tell that with hybrid 9, it was more susceptible than the other, the 7, the 13, 14, and 15. And further analysis is in progress, but we're hoping to continue this project in the future and be able to see the actual relationship between maybe a high infestation of sugarcane aphids and how that affects agronomic characteristics like the SPAD reading or the chlorophyll content and how that affects yield. Because even with the yield, there was no significant difference between hybrids. So with the life history analysis, we were able to find one hybrid that showed some resistance in a controlled environment, so we are able to move that out into the field as well for future breeding programs and to come up with a better management practice than our pesticides that are being taken off the market. In future directions, we're actually looking at sorghum defense response. So we're taking a sorghum plant that is fed on by insects and a sorghum plant that is not, and we're trying to find different genes that are differently expressed between the two so that we can actually be able to manipulate that, whether that's a breeding program or transgenics. So I want to thank my lab and Dr. Ronnie Schnell, who's at Texas A&M. He has been helping me a lot with this project out in the field with my little expertise on agronomy. So, and I want to thank the Dr. Sword lab for providing me with my sugarcane aphid population. And that's my references. Do y'all have any questions? Yes. So with the heavy amounts of rain, we could do applications where we could have raising a colony. They come up so fast. They grow so fast. So I have one in the laboratory right now, and they're reproducing. I have over like 1,000 aphids in our growth chamber right now. So we could do applications. I'm a little worried about doing that, depending on other farmers in the area causing an infestation for their actual, because Texas is one of the biggest sorghum producers, and so we would have to find a controlled way of doing that, maybe caging it or things like that. And then also doing different locations, I feel like that would help a lot. We only had one location this year, and so I feel like expanding that out to different parts of Texas would help that. So we'll see. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
What caused it to move from sugarcane to
soy? I'm not actually sure. One of my, and this is a hypothesis, is shattercane. It's a between, I think it's sugarcane and Johnson grass, and they're overwintering in Johnson grass, and they will survive on Johnson grass the whole entire winter season and then move into sorghum come the growing season. So I'm wondering if maybe they were on Johnson grass or on sugarcane, moved to shattercane, and now it's on Johnson grass or something like that, and then moved into sorghum. Hypothesis. I don't know. But that's my theory. Yes?
Is it the same species? I heard somebody say that they wondered if it was
Mm-hmm. They've actually been doing some genetic studies. It's really new right now. The speciation with insects, especially at this fast of a pace of a growing population of insects, I think I read one paper where they were saying that there are two different species. I have to look back at that. It's actually on my computer. If you're interested later, I can get you the paper, but it is really interesting how fast they can move from species to species and then be two different populations. So, thank you.